Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score. Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you
next
very
question.
Much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is always a delight to talk to Coach Wannstedt. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Morning, Dave.
Good morning, fellows. Yes, I'm doing good. I'll just say this. You can't get two wins unless you get one. So we're 1-0, right? That's the way we got to look at it.
You called it, Dave. You had Mitchell Trubisky as the guy. And got to tell you, when they had managed 6 points heading into the fourth quarter, I was even questioning it myself. Even I, Dave, gave it a second thought. And yet he ended up having a great quarter and the Bears won the game.
Well, I'm sure no one will ever admit it, but I promise you, when they were jogging it at halftime from Matt Nagy all the way through them, they were all having the same thoughts. You know, I hope this thing turns around. Human nature, you know, and obviously it all worked out. And, you know, for Mitch and for the coaches and everybody. So on to the next one, you know, on to the Giants now. But, there was some doubt. There's no question about it. But I do think that there were a lot of positives with the Bears. And, I love that they were using the two tight ends and obviously running the ball. They were balanced. I mean, that's all changed from where they were a year ago. You know, you saw a little bit of identity. And the only thing that I took away from it offensively is that you can't get behind the numbers. You can't get behind the chains with Mitch. In other words, what I mean is we've got to be productive on first and second down, because if it's third down and long and now the they're coming after you, we got to throw it, and they can play a lot of different coverages. In my opinion, that's where Mitch is struggling right now. So make that third down manageable, and it's going to change the whole complexion of this offense.
So, Dave, let's go back to halftime. Let's go back to Matt Nagy's thought process. He's running off the field, and I'm sure that those thoughts are running through his head. I'm sure that he's got a lot of coaches in his ear, and there's a lot at stake. The Bears' offense stunk in the first half, and a lot had to do with the poor play at quarterback. From a head coach's perspective, what's that like at halftime, so early in the season, weighing whether to make a replacement, make a change that could change the course of the game and certainly the season, or stick with the guy who you said is your starter? How difficult do you think that was for Matt Nagy, and how difficult is that for any head coach?
I always looked at it this way. You know, were our mistakes self-imposed? In other words, did our quarterback throw three interceptions, and did we fumble the ball twice? If that didn't happen, which it did not with the Bears, then it just comes down to execution and play selection. So I'm sure that Matt Nagy went in there and said, hey, these are the things that are working good. These things, guys, let's stay away from this the second half. And I think the best, you know, what really is perfect, when the Bears fell behind, when the Lions came out the third quarter and scored, and would they make it a 17-point game, that was almost the best thing that could have happened, because the Lions had three starting corners out, right? They had two out before the game, and they lose another one. So they were playing. They had no choices. And this is what the reviewers and everybody was saying, oh, the coverage they're in. When you get in that situation, I've been there. I would call it cat coverage. Molly, you got that cat. David, you got that cat, and I'll take this cat. Okay? I mean, it's street ball. You know what I mean? And that's the simplest way to play defense. If you go out there and try to play zone, and you got to make a check from a two deep zone to a three deep zone because of a motion on offense, and you got players like Detroit had in there that hadn't played much, that, you know, together and weren't as good, you're going to have big, big plays. So the best way to do it, and Matt Patricia did the right thing. You know, he played cover one. I call it cat coverage. Everybody's got a cat. Go cover your guy. And now you just hope that your guys are as good as them or the quarterback's off. And I picked Ben as my comeback player. Anyway, Mitch, you know, he knows the coverage. It's cover one. And now he's capable of getting the ball to the correct person. So I think being behind really helped him. And that's what I talked about in my opening statement. If you got to, you know, if Mitch gets in long yardage and you have to huddle up and you're not in a no huddle and they can place five different coverages, that's where he has a little bit of a problem, in my opinion, right now.
This segment with Dave Wannstedt is presented by MailMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair is the winning play. And Dave, I got to tell you, despite the comeback, despite everything that happened, DeAndre Swift dropped a pass with 6 seconds left. It was the game-winning touchdown pass. I mean, it was remarkable to see a guy flat out drop a ball when he's wide open somehow in the end zone at the end of a game. And I think that when we think about that in the context of how the Bears defense played, I sure hope that it's more about them being out of shape or them needing the game than it is a sort of conclusion as to where they're going to be at defensively. I was hoping they'd be more 2018 than 2019, and I don't know what that was.
Yeah, no, that was probably a disappointment. And I was texting with Chucky Pagano after the game. Absolutely. Now, I was not sure how the Bears secondary was going to react, particularly with Johnson, a rookie, being in there. I was happy with the secondary. You know, obviously getting run, having the football run at you for 150 yards. But I talked to somebody this week, and an ex-player. And you know what he said to me? He says, if you haven't had any real live competition, the one running back that you don't want to have to tackle right off the bat is Adrian Peterson. You know what I mean? He is a big, powerful guy, you know, completely different than a Tariq Cohen, for example. And so I think the physicality, you know, that the lack of preseason games, I think, showed up a little bit on their defense. And they've got enough ability, obviously. We all know that. I thought that Roquan Smith played great. He looks like he's getting back to where he was. So I thought there were some real good individual efforts out there from a defensive standpoint. But as a unit, you know, they just weren't that sharp, obviously. And they didn't play physical enough. You can't get the ball run on you for 150 yards. That's a disaster.
Absolutely, Dave. And at linebacker, Danny Trevathan did not have a good opener. And in the offseason, the Bears had to make a choice between him and Kwiatkowski. And certainly they went with the veteran. They went with the guy who last year was as valuable as any defender. He's 30. He looked it on Sunday. Do you just chalk that up to maybe some rust and maybe just, as you said, the speed of the game and there's AP running at you? Or where's your confidence level with a guy like Trevathan?
Yeah, I wouldn't. He'll come back. I mean, as conscientious as Danny is and as hardworking, as long as he's healthy, which we all assume he is, he'll get back at it. I would just say it's just from, you know, the lack of full speed training camp and the OTAs and the mini camps and some guys it affects a little bit differently. And I think he was a great example of that, particularly when you're coming off an injury like he was.
Were you surprised by the lack of pass rush? Is that down to Robert Quinn being out and other players suffering, you know, minor injuries coming back from it? Mac has a knee, apparently. They had one sack, but it was really, I don't know what Matthew Stafford was doing. He held the ball forever on that play.
Right. No, you know, I really went into this game thinking and knowing Stafford real well. You're not going to trick him, and you're not going to get to him very often. You know, I think that with the Bears, probably blitzed more than four guys, rushed more than four guys, maybe a half a dozen times, maybe a little bit more than that. Not much, but only for the fact that in a game against a good quarterback like that, you're going to have to get pressure with four, and you're going to have to do a good job defending the pass. I mean, that's how you beat a guy like him. You give him one-on-one opportunities, and he's going to find the open guy more times than not. So, I think I was hoping for a little bit more pressure. I'm going to be honest with you. I think it was steady pressure. You always want the sacks and the big negative plays, which really didn't come up. I think our expectations are so high for this defense, and rightfully so, that there was a little bit of disappointment there. I'm going to be honest with you.
Dave, you can find out what coaches want to emphasize early by what they do in the first half offensively, and the Bears ran 18 times and they passed 20. That's pretty good balance for a Matt Nagy offense. Are you buying the fact that he's serious about committing more to the running game this year, as the opener might have indicated?
Well, I am, for two reasons. One, and I think it was Mitch that said last week, you're going to find out about identity on the first play. So I'm sitting here saying, okay, I can't wait for this first play, you know. God forbid if it's a double reverse, you know, but right.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm going
through about 500 different plays that I've run over the years in my mind, saying what's coming, and it was perfect. But here's why I think that they are committed to the running game. Number one, that if they would have run the ball all spread out all over the field, then I would have said, okay, is this just a token run to appease the fans and to tell everybody, see, we do have runs, a little bit like happened last year, I think. But no, when you get into two tight ends like they did and come up with blocking schemes, it takes a lot of time to put into that, and you got to practice that, and you got to be committed to that. So I'm going to go on a limb and say, you know what, they are committed to being balanced for whatever reason, and I think that by being balanced, that it gives Mitch the best chance to be successful with his play action passes and his rollout passes. That all fits into running the ball and being balanced, and those high percentage throws at the tight ends. You know, you got plenty of tight ends with talent on that team. I think he's going to use them. I think that's all part of his plan. I really do.
Giants coming in next, Dave. You just watched what happened with the Steelers game last night, and you saw them run into a brick wall, effectively. Saquon Barkley did not get much done. Does that change against the Bears? What are your feelings about the Giants coming in?
Well, you know what? I was impressed with the Giants. You know, I really was. I think that their defense, they were getting after it early. They're a better defensive team, in my opinion, than the Lions are. I love Danny Dimes, I mean, their quarterback. God, Daniel Jones. I mean, this kid is, for a second-year player and a new offensive system. You know, Jason Garrett's up there now calling plays. I this guy's a player. I mean, you got to love everything about him. And you know, the Steelers were number one in the NFL last year with taking the ball away. They led the whole NFL. They were top five defense, and you know, so they're capable, and they do it with a lot of pressure. I think the Bears will be able to pressure this young kid a lot more than they could pressure Matt Stafford at Detroit. So I think this is going to be a game where the guy up front, that defense is going to have to show up and really do a good job, because the Giants got good receivers. But, you know, Shepard, I think, is probably – he was their lead guy. You know, they're all good receivers. You don't play in this league. You know, I don't know if they've got a great receiver, to be quite honest with you. And like maybe Michael Jones, I don't think they have anybody in that caliber. So I think the matchups are going to be good for the Bears on, you know, covering and rushing this week. I would expect the defense to show up big time.
Great stuff, Dave. Thanks a ton. Great catching up with you.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, guys. Anytime. Okay. Bye-bye.
That's Dave Wannstedt. That's fascinating. Yeah, I'll be fast. I mean, I'm going to be waiting to find out who practices tomorrow, right? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if there's any kind of return of Robert Quinn. We haven't seen him forever. And you know what? Also, is Mac going to be limited? I mean, is there more going on here than we know?
Let's talk about that, because also Daniel Jones is a guy that I'm not as sold on him as Dave Wannstedt just sounded. And I want to know what you think, because he is dangerous. He can be. He's got a lot of potential, but I just didn't see it last night.
Danny Dimes. We'll talk about that next. 312-644-6767. Mullion Hall on the score.
Really, really well. Knock on wood. We didn't have any injuries, which is good. I love saying that. So for us to be able to get through that first game, you know, you see some of these other teams lost some guys, but for us that was good. So I'm happy about that.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. That is the head coach, Matt Nagy. And great news, no injuries. You saw other teams get injuries, have players go down, not the Bears. They're in great shape. They're physically just fantastic, other than the guys that probably already had pre-existing conditions.
Yeah, it's a little misleading. I think it's great that they came out of it injury-free week one, but Robert Quinn is the guy they need going into week two. Robert Quinn is the guy they need this season, because without him, that pass rush is markedly different, and you have to be concerned when you have a defense that gives up 426 yards, and it's the most you've given up as a franchise in an opener since 1965. You need all the help you can get, and Robert Quinn would be a big addition, even though I don't expect that to happen this week. You need some clarity here.
Yes, I'm not disagreeing with you, but okay. Let's put it this way. Do you believe that you can beat the Giants with the same group that managed to beat the Lions?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's got to be more than just beating the Giants, Molly. I think the Giants – okay, let's look at the Giants. They have a rookie left tackle, Andrew Thomas, who's going to be very good. He's not there yet. Their offensive line gave up 3 sacks and managed 29 yards rushing against a pretty good Steeler defense. But that is an offensive line defensively. With or without Robert Quinn, the Bears should dominate. And if they don't at home in their home opener, then you have real reason for concern. But, yeah, I think they should win definitely against the Giants with or without Quinn.
Yeah, and I think that it would be nice if there was absolutely all hands on deck and there was no concern about injury or anything like that. But I think that realistically, you know, it's the kind of thing where you want to be getting better as the year goes on. If this guy is hurt and if he's not healthy next week, this coming week, then, you know, you just keep pushing that off for another week. Look, I mean, I want to see him. I want to see him back. I thought it was a good pickup. I thought he was a significant upgrade over Leonard Floyd, and it seemed like that would be something you could certainly use, for God's sake. But the fact of the matter is that I don't think that their success or failure against the Giants hinges upon his return. I think it makes it a lot easier. But I want Mac to get better and to feel better. I'd like to see more Anthony Miller kind of building on what he did at the end of the game a little bit. I'd like to see, you know, you heard the coach talk about Mooney, the rookie wide receiver. I thought he did. I thought it was a good comment that he didn't seem overwhelmed by the moment. So
right.
I think there were good things to kind of build upon. I don't know about the interior of that defensive line. I thought that the Giants, I was surprised watching that game last night. And again, I kind of watched the first hour of it before I got Sox-centric. But I was surprised. The Giants had supposedly improved their offensive line. And they weren't able to do anything against that Pittsburgh front. Now, that's a really good team defensively. Pittsburgh was really good last year, and their problem was with the offense when the quarterback went down. But I think that I think there's a lot to build on there for the Bears.
There is, and I think big picture is what I'm looking at. Because when you're, you know, when you're team building and you get out of the draft and you get through free agency and you look at this Bears defense, I legitimately thought it was going to be a top five defense because of who they had coming back and who they added to the mix. Now you don't have Robert Quinn for the first, who knows how long that'll take. Eddie Goldman opted out, and Danny Trevathan did not look good in week one. And
no.
Not that that's an indicator what kind of season he'll have, but this defense is not maybe what we thought it would be early on. It's a long season. They can get to that point. But I guess coming out of Sunday, yes, the concerns about the inconsistency of the quarterback, they're valid, and we'll talk about them. All we have been talking about is a quarterback. But defensively, I would be worried. I would be worried. The Bears have something to prove on Sunday, and that's that they can manhandle a Giants team, as you say, that doesn't have an offensive line that should be able to handle the Bears.
All right, 312-644-6767. We'll get to your calls after we hear from our guy, Kebbo. Mully and Haw, and let me just throw a couple names at you, David, just get your take on what you saw. David Montgomery suffered a career-ending injury, I believe, 2 weeks ago and ended up being perfectly fine and okay and able to play. I mean, we were talking about it like,
I know,
this guy's going to miss half the year. It looked that bad, and he looked pretty good. I mean, you got to feel good about him, right?
Fresh legs. He looked like a guy that was a smarter runner, and he looked like a guy that was, you know, finishing off runs the way that we heard that he did at Iowa State and made him as attractive in the draft as he was to the Bears. I liked what I saw from a David Montgomery. Keep feeding him the ball.
Cordero Patterson had 19 yards on 4 carries. He had a 12-yard catch for a first down, and he had a 45-yard kick return that set up the first TD of the fourth quarter. I mean, that's contributing. Maybe you can use him more.
I think I tweeted out, I didn't expect to type this sentence today. Where would the Bears be without Cordero Patterson? He was valuable. He was impactful. He was everything that they need him to be. And I would like to see a little bit more Cordero Patterson. Why not? Because he showed an effectiveness. You know, he's a smarter runner out of the backfield than maybe we give him credit for, because he is a natural wide receiver. But yeah, he can pick his spot, and he has explosiveness.
And, you know, Allen Robinson did not get that contract extension before the start of the season, as we kind of thought he would. Obviously, he's so important to everything they do. I saw a breakdown of the play, the diving catch, that huge play, so important in that game. If you look, I think it was Mooney. I think there was somebody in motion that was uncovered on the right side of the field. Like, absolutely, unequivocally, no one within, I don't know, 7 yards of the guy?
Was that Graham, maybe? I'm not sure who it was, but I remember the play you're talking about, and it was wide open, and it just shows you how much that Mitch Trubisky does lock in on Allen Robinson, and we all get it. I mean, he is the guy that you want to get the ball to as much as possible. The problem is everybody else on defense knows that, and so you can't stare him down. And if you do, and he gets the attention that he deserves, then, hey, hit the open man, because that's the guy that missed. But, yeah, Allen Robinson, you don't have to worry about him being disgruntled. You don't have to worry about him being unhappy because, look, he had every reason to be Sunday, and he still produced.
I can't believe we've gotten this far on the show without talking about Mac. And I'm not talking about Khalil. Ladarius back on the practice squad.
Maybe that will trigger his brother and make him happy. Maybe Khalil was upset the way the Bears handled his little brother, and now he's going to be content, and he's going to take out any frustration he may have had on the Giants' offensive line.
I don't know.
Return of the Mac, the little guy.
All right, let's try Vito. Vito is in Plainfield. Good morning, Vito.
Hey, Vito.
Hey, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm really good. I really enjoy the show.
Bless you.
Thank you.
My comment was, does it make sense, okay, with us not knowing the status of Quinn from week to week, that we take a flyer, maybe bring in Clay Matthews for some depth, give him a workout and see whether or not he can make contributions. I bet you he'd love to get after Rodgers a few times.
I bet you he would.
He made that crap up.
Creative idea. Clay Matthews is 34 years old. He's got 91 and a half career sacks. I get it. I understand it. I think the best available pass rusher, Mully, I think I saw yesterday, Iggy Ansah, isn't he trying out with the 49ers a second time? Ziggy Ansah, isn't he out there? But I don't think that he's a guy that's going to be ending up anywhere, maybe San Francisco. I don't know. Guys on the street typically are hard to expect to make instant contributions.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, we are past that first week, so you can bring guys in and you're not committing the whole year to them. I don't think you're that desperate yet. I really don't. And I think that you got to wait and see what you have. Again, you know, we thought that they should have signed every running back known to humankind when it looked like David Montgomery was gone.
That's right.
Forever.
That's right.
And he's perfectly
lesson
fine.
Learned.
Yeah. All right. We're going to bring in Mike Florio next. It's Mully and Haw, The Score.
The opening bell brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Hey, Monday! Hey, Monday! We get better, better!
We get better, better!
We get beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Whoa, beat, beat!
Whoa, beat, beat!
Insider Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is always a delight to talk to Mike Florio. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Mike.
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Fun opening weekend. You know, just great to see the NFL and you know, it was surreal to see the booing of unity to open things up on a Thursday night. But you get to Sunday and all the games being played. And then last night, more football. It just seems like you go from kind of 0 to 90 because there was no buildup. It's just we're jumping into the fray.
Yeah, and it was so strange to watch the games on Sunday. Because from the normal TV angle that we see all the time, it's fine. It's football. It's no big deal. And then anytime they cut away to any other angle whatsoever, it's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Like with the big wide swaths of empty seats. Somebody sent me a clip of Kyler Murray on a scramble that he had Sunday, 3rd and 17, got the first down along the sideline. And the angle was kind of low and from the sideline. And when you see all these seats in the background, it's like, wait, was that during pregame warmups? What is that? What's going on here? It's just going to take a while for us to process that the backdrop for these games is going to be nothing for the most part. And hopefully we'll get to a point where it's safe and it's permissible for more fans to be present. But I think anything other than a full complement of fans in the stands is going to look weird this year. And I don't know how long weird is going to feel weird until it just becomes normal. Maybe by Halloween, I don't know. But it really was a strange dichotomy. But when they put the cameras on the field, it looks like football. It sounds like football. It feels like football. And it's great that it's back.
And last night certainly felt like football after the Broncos-Titans game because we're second-guessing. And, Mike, I think we love Vic Fangio in Chicago for what he did as the Bears defensive coordinator. But do you agree that coaching malpractice down the stretch without using your two timeouts that would have given the Broncos the ball back potentially with a minute left. Instead, he doesn't use them. They lose because Gostkowski finally kicks a field goal. What's the fallout in Denver for Fangio's not using his timeouts?
Well, I think people are still processing it. His explanation on the surface sounds good, but when you look at it more carefully, it was already too late for him to use the timeouts on the two plays where he said, well, they ran out of bounds and then they threw an incomplete pass, so I didn't need to use them. He should have used them the minute that Derrick Henry ran the ball from the Denver 29 down to the 16. At that point, there was a minute 27 on a turning clock, and it went all the way down to 49 seconds. And then they ran another play, and the clock kept ticking another 12 seconds off. And they had a shot of Vic Fangio as the clock was ticking, and he was kind of giving off that Bill Belichick at the end of Super Bowl 49 vibe remember, the Seahawks are trying to take the lead. And wait a minute, aren't the Patriots going to call timeouts and have some time left? And Belichick was just kind of like, yeah, you know what? I sense there's some disarray over there, so I'm just going to let the clock keep ticking. Mike Vrabel, the Titans coach, eventually took the timeout last night. And then that's when the damage was done. They weren't going to have enough time left to do anything with it after the Titans kicked their field goal. I think part of it was Fangio was banking on Gostkowski missing another one. He didn't. And here's the question that needs to be asked. The Broncos got the ball to the 43, their own 43. In Denver, the air is thinner. The altitude is higher. The ball goes farther. It would have been a 74-yard field goal. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but there's a video out there of their kicker, Brandon McManus, 3 years ago in a practice with offense, defense, snap, hold, fans present, 73-yard field goal he made. So, and it didn't even come up. It wasn't even a conversation. And I hope today, when they have a chance to talk to Vic Fangio, they ask him why it wasn't even a consideration to try that field goal, because they still could have won it, even with 17 seconds left when they got the ball back. They had it with 2 seconds on their own 43, and it wasn't even debated, discussed, or mentioned during the broadcast that they got a guy who could boom it. Why not give that a try instead of a very low percentage Hail Mary type of a play?
This segment with Mike Florio is presented by MalMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair is the winning play. And, you know, Mike, we saw in the earlier game, Saquon Barkley, I was stunned by this. I read it at Pro Football Talk that, according to Tom Rock of Newsday, he, with his 6 yards on 15 carries, the sixth player since the merger to rush for single-digit yards on 15 or more carries. He is way too good a player for that to happen to. And yet, as you point out, he was hit at or behind the line of scrimmage on 11 of those 15 carries. It didn't really have a chance.
Yeah, and part of it too, Bud Dupree, in a franchise tag year for the Steelers, they didn't work out a long-term deal. He's already laying the foundation for a huge contract on the open market if the Steelers don't tag him again or sign him to a long-term contract. He's making $15.8 this year, and he earned a lot of it last night, tackling Saquon Barkley on multiple occasions behind the line of scrimmage, hitting Daniel Jones on the play that resulted in the ball being coughed up. Cameron Hayward intercepts it. You know, that game was still in the balance. It was 16-10. The Giants had that really long drive. And, you know, before you know it, it's 26-10. But, you know, the strange thing about last night's games, the Steelers game, a 10-point margin, it was a lot closer than that. And the late game, 2-point margin, it wasn't nearly and shouldn't have nearly been that close. And but for all those Steven Gostkowski misses, it would have been an easy Titans win. So, you know, that final score that shows up at the bottom of the crawl on ESPN or gets popped through your phone or you see it in a newspaper if they still have newspapers. I mean, it really is deceptive at times about what the game was really like.
Mike, the only thing better than seeing Tom Brady in a Tampa Bay uniform because of how the novelty of it was hearing Bruce Arians be as direct as he was afterward and what Tom Brady didn't do and how he didn't look like the guy they saw in practice. What's going to be the most interesting thing about how that marriage unfolds this season?
Well, I want to see what Tom Brady says this week when they ask him about it, because even though he was frustrated by 20 years of Bill Belichick withholding praise, Bill Belichick never calls a guy out publicly. He'll do it behind the scenes. He'll do it in the film room. He'll do it in front of the team, but he's not going to call a guy out to the media and to the fans. And this is what Brady signed on for. And Sims and I were talking about this, Chris Sims on PFT Live today, about how Brady can deal with this. And maybe at some point Brady has to go to Arians and say, knock it off. And Arians' response may be, what, can't you take it? If you can't take some criticism from an old man like me, how are you going to handle these guys who are half your age chasing you around on the field? So, you know, this is the way Arians is. And it's one of the reasons why he didn't become a head coach until 7 years ago in his 60s, because he doesn't pull punches. He doesn't kiss butts. He doesn't say what he quote unquote should say. He just says what he thinks. And, you know, their schedule gets a little bit easier. For all we know, that's the toughest game they're going to play all year. That's the weird thing about week one. You never quite know how good the team is that beat you or how bad the team is that you beat, and it all works out in the wash. But they just need time. They need reps. The lack of preseason, the lower intensity of training camp, I think it all contributed to the teams that didn't have continuity in quarterback or coaching staff having a harder time in the first week of the season.
I'm glad you said that, Mike, because I think there's been this kind of reaction that Tom Brady's finished, he's washed up, he's no good. And I'm not arguing about his age. I'm just saying when that schedule came out, did anyone really think that they were going to go beat the Saints? Didn't the Saints have the huge advantage of continuity and all the other things that you think are going to be important this season? I'm going to wait and make my judgment on that in a couple weeks. I'm not going to overreact to one game, especially against the team as good as the Saints.
I say every year the only teams that really should be concerned are teams that lose division games at home week one, because you still have to go to your rival's building and play there. And if you get swept, the chances of winning your division go down dramatically, because you got to make up three games in the other 14 on this team that will have beaten you twice. And I don't know that holds this year, because there's no fans at these games. So right. This is a different year than ever before. But for the Buccaneers, they had to go to New Orleans at some point. They get it out of the way early. And now they go on to a softer schedule that they can rack up some wins with. And, you know, they'll be fine. When you mentioned, you know, everybody saying how bad Tom Brady is, I have a vivid recollection of a September morning 6 years ago, after the Patriots got the crap kicked out of them on Monday Night Football by the Chiefs, 43-14, and everybody saying how it was over. Brady had said not long before that, "I'll retire when I suck." And everybody's like, "Well, I guess he's retiring now." And what happened? That was the impetus for three more Super Bowl wins. That was right. The moment where the switch flipped, I think. And, you know, they win the Super Bowl that year. They almost get back the next year. They win it the year after, and then they win it again 2 years after that.
Mike, biggest surprise week one, I'd say Kyler Murray maybe in the Cardinals. Biggest disappointment, I expected more out of the Colts. What do you think about both of those?
I mean, I guess you could flip it around. Biggest surprise, the Jaguars beating the Colts, and the biggest disappointment, the 49ers losing to the Cardinals. But, you know, I've got a show on Peacock now at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central, PFT p.m., and Shereen Williams and I were talking about this yesterday. The biggest overreaction coming out of week one. And for me, it should have been the biggest overreaction what the Cardinals did to the 49ers. It's almost like that game didn't happen because it was up against Buccaneers Saints. But I watched that game yesterday on the NFL Game Pass feature, where you can like watch a whole game in a half hour or 45 minutes. And I was astounded at how good the Cardinals were, how quickly they got DeAndre Hopkins integrated into the offense. And Kyler Murray is a flat-out superstar. And when you can juxtapose Kyler Murray and Jimmy Garoppolo for 3 hours, or as the case may be, 45 minutes of a condensed broadcast, I'd take Murray 100 out of 100 times over Jimmy Garoppolo. There is no question. They are on two different levels, and Murray is already a superstar, and we're going to see it. I wish we had more Cardinals games in prime time. I wish they had a more menacing logo. I wish they had more modern uniforms. I wish they were a team that people would get behind. But they're going to get behind Kyler Murray. This guy has it all. He's got the combination of speed, agility, and awareness like I've never seen before. He doesn't get hit. He doesn't get into that ego, that pride, that adrenaline that takes over when he gets has a good play. He doesn't fight for that extra yard. He just gets down, and he gets down lightning fast. He's down. He's down. He goes back to the huddle, and he never gets himself blown up. And he just weaves around. It's just amazing. Great thrower, great runner, great quarterback. And at least with him, no one can lament that they passed on him, like with Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, because Murray was the first guy off the board last year.
Great stuff, Mike. As always, thank you a ton. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. All right.
See you guys.
That is Mike Florio. Always a joy. We're going to bring in Dan Bernstein next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.